Paul Plakas once again joins us. We're going to talk about strength today, Plakas. Pros and cons. There's a lot of it. I want to talk about the, you know, everybody always talk. Oh, how much can you bench? I know not many people use that term anymore today. A lot of stuff has changed, but you know, going for maximum strength or sub max strength. What's the benefits and cons?
Yeah. So basically, the more load you lift relative to your physical ability, the more stress you put your tendons and ligaments and muscles under, so that there's a higher risk for injury. So it's nice to know what you're able to lift and gauge your progress and stuff like that. But you just got to be careful not to do that like every workout. Like maybe checking like every quarter, every say 3 months, building up your exercise load so that you are doing a max by the end of 3 months. But not some people like to see how much they can lift every workout or every week, and that's just a lot of stress on the joints, and you can put risk of injury. Then you're sitting there healing instead of making gains. So that's why it's good to mostly focus on sub-maximal lifts or a percentage of your one rep max. So if you're lifting 70% of your one rep max of whatever exercise that is, it's usually about 12 reps that you're able to do for that. There's actually a chart out there. So it's good that way you still develop strength gains and then building up slowly to doing that one rep max, and hopefully you just keep climbing and climbing and you're getting stronger to your body weight.
And the one thing when people, you know, guys out there are looking in their, you know, maybe they're comparing with their friends, relative strength has to be taken into account, because if your buddy's 6'2 and 220 and you're 6 feet and 195, you're likely not going to be lifting the same loads.
Right. So yeah, if you're lifting an external load, like for example, like you're doing an overhead press with a barbell or a bench press, yeah, the smaller guy generally has a more difficult time because they have less mass to push against the mass. So yeah, smaller guys are going to be a little bit weaker, I guess, relative to the load that you're lifting. So if you're looking at sort of like an absolute strength, then basically a measurement of that is, say you put 200 pounds on a bench press and it's the same for both people and you just see who can lift it more. But if it's relative to your body weight, there's actually, you figure out a percentage of your body weight of what you're lifting, and then you might be pound for pound stronger than the other guy because you are smaller. Like I was mentioning, Jeff here at Custom Fit, he always mentions that he's pound for pound the strongest guy here because he's only 150, but he's fairly strong, right? that's his claim to fame, but he's been proven wrong many times. A lot of younger trainers are coming up and clients, so he's getting up there in the age, right?
Yeah, well, he's almost a senior citizen now. I don't think he can claim that. And that's why.
Also, before I go, stop you, but when you look at also relative strength, like those guys, the smaller guys, if you're lifting your own body weight, say for example, when you're doing chin-ups or push-ups, then you're going to have an advantage compared to the bigger guy, because now you're just lifting your own body weight. So it's an advantage and disadvantage depending on if you're lifting your body weight versus an external weight.
The other one I've heard a lot of people talk about is power strength. What's power strength?
Now, when you talk about power, you're now looking at how much you're lifting, how much distance you're covering with the weight, and how fast you're lifting it. So this is very applicable to athletes and any kind of sports that they're lifting. Any kind of sports that they're performing in. So this is basically Olympic lifting, how much you're going to clean and jerk, how much you're going to snatch, how fast that weight's going to move, and what distance it covers and the speed that it gets covered. So like plyometrics, jumping with a weighted vest, or throwing a medicine ball really explosively, doing jump squats with a barbell on your back, that's kind of power strength.
Okay. Now, and a lot of the Olympic lifting movements, right? Like, and how important then is it for any athlete, regardless of sport, to be good in power strength?
Yeah, you have to be very good at that kind of stuff, because you want to be strong and you want to be able to be quick with strength as well. So it's vital for football players, hockey players, virtually any sport. You need a combination of strength and speed and quickness. So you want to incorporate power strength into your programs. But that's really the last place you go to. If you're just starting out, you don't want to start off with power strength, because that is where you put your body at the highest risk of injury because of the explosive nature of the activity. There's a lot of deceleration, acceleration, and a lot of tension on the connective tissue of your body. So you got to be careful to build up your endurance first, then your strength, and then kind of work your power strength third in the spectrum of progression. Yeah, just a lot higher risk for injury, but you should do it if you want to get good at sports and be an explosive athlete, and that's what really separates the really good athletes from the people that are mediocre.
Are more, like, overall now, if there's anybody out there, and, you know, their son or daughter is at that level, well, they think they're elite. I'm not talking 9 or 10-year-olds. I'm talking, you know, you get to that 15, 16, 17 age range where, you know, all of a sudden they're up there in their age range is elite. Is that when they should be looking at doing these, you know, getting power strength?
I would say, like, it really depends on the person. As long as they've developed a good base of endurance and strength training, and they can execute the movements in perfect technique, then, yeah, you can be younger and still do that, because kids, they play with power and speed all the time. They're always jumping around and, you know, moving their bodies explosively. But when you start doing more technical lifts, you just have to build a good foundation of perfect technique, endurance, strength, and then developing power. And you can do that really at any age. Yeah, there's no research saying you can't start off early doing that stuff. It's relative to the person's ability.
You also, though, can risk injury more, though, doing those movements, no?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's why you have to make sure it's progressed slowly and carefully under guidance and making sure that everything's done perfectly with excellent execution, so that the movements are done efficiently and that your body is not taking on stress where things are collapsing at your knee and maybe your back's arching too much, or maybe you don't have your abdominals engaged. So having somebody, you know, coaching you on that and then developing that habit repetitively over time, well, it'll just become second nature for you, anything.
Like, engaging your core muscles is one of the most important things and probably the one thing that most of us don't do on a regular basis.
Yeah, you definitely want to have it become a natural thing where you, when before you're about to lift, like, you brace your abdominals like somebody's about to punch you in the stomach. So you have them braced, and if you're doing like a squatting technique, you definitely want your lats and elbows pulled down and together with your shoulder blades towards your spine. You want to keep that trunk nice and tight and stable so then that your extremities can perform explosive work. So there's that saying, you can't fire a cannon from a canoe. So you need a stable platform to make an explosive, explosive, powerful movement.
Paul, always good stuff, man. Appreciate your time. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.